Well, again, good morning. My name is Pastor Jimmy. For those that do not know, so glad to have you here today. We are in a series called I Am Made For, all right? Every Sunday I start off by saying that there is really nobody like you. And your neighbor says, thank God, right? There is nobody like you, nor will there ever be anybody quite like you, all right? You were not made on this massive assembly line, cut from the same mold as somebody else, with a number attached to you. You are uniquely made, designed specifically for His good purpose. Everything about you is on purpose. Just let that soak in for a minute. Everything about you is on purpose, and it's for His glory. And so I encourage you, don't despise who you are. Don't despise your giftings. Don't despise your talents. Don't despise your personality. Use it for the glory of God. Whether it be weird, unique, crazy, irritable, whatever it may be, use it for the glory of God. There's nothing too small that God cannot use. Matter of fact, He demonstrates that to us when He says, if we have just enough faith as a grain of mustard seed. How many of you guys know that it is super, super small? And so God is saying, I'm not saying that you have this massive boulder faith. He said, if you just had faith as small as a mustard seed, I will use that. I will pour out my Spirit upon that, and I will bless it far beyond that you could ever imagine. And so I want to encourage you that this morning that you are uniquely designed. We talked about that you are made for victory. We talked about Moses leading the children of Israel. And we talked about, today we're specifically talking about change. You are made for change. So let's pray. Father, again, I thank you so much for everything that you have done in this service so far. And God, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit this morning through your word. Father, speak prophetically to each and every person here. God, may your word be revelation. May it be life. May it be comfort. God, rebuke, convict, and push us forward toward you through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I am made for change. Change is difficult, isn't it? How many of you guys, with a show of hands, you absolutely love change? There might be a couple crazy ones in here this morning. Jeremy. Yep. So change is difficult, whether it's change of habit, attitude, job, whether you're moving into a different city, a different culture, as the Powells are. Change is always challenging, right? And change is even more difficult when it's imposed on us suddenly or without our approval, right? Change is okay and we can swallow it when we know it's coming, when we can prepare for it, when we're ready for it. How many of you guys ever seen the show Prepper, those Prepper shows, right? How many of you guys, you're preppers? You ready for the zombie apocalypse? Dean, are you ready for the zombie apocalypse? Amen, yeah. You got one of those secret rooms in your basement, right? It's got water, right? So, change is bearable, it's palatable if we know that it's coming. But change is always difficult when it's imposed on us suddenly or without our approval, right? So there's also an element of pain in change, even when the change is for our good, still there is pain and difficulty that is associated with it, even when it's for our good. Like when a new job or a better job in a new city means leaving friends and family behind. Even though it's still good, there's pain associated with it. This is why people typically avoid or put off change, because they want to avoid the pain that usually comes with it. And so we know that even though it is good, still there is adjustment that needs to be made with pain. Of course, we know that not all change is good either. There are many changes in life that are both painful and sad because the change that takes place is for the worse, not better. For example, changing careers only to find out the grass is not greener on the other side. Or going through a divorce. Or going through a job loss. Whatever the case may be, change is not always good. But the one thing that we do know is that whether we're going through change or our life is predictable, no matter what stage of life we may be in, God is always, always, always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never does away with us. Right? We may do away with each other. Sometimes it's hard to love each other. Even as Christians, sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes it's just easier to do this and walk away, right? Defriend, right? Clear out our social media. Do all of that. It's easier just to wipe our hands, delete, walk away from. But Jesus said, I will never forsake you. I'll never do away with. I will always be there for you. Even when the change is difficult, even when it's unbearable, I will always, always be with you. But today I want to focus on the changes and the challenge that positive changes create and how we can meet and overcome them. You guys ready for that? Here's how we do it. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, 1 and 3. I want to go over a couple of different Bible characters with you this morning. The Bible's filled with stories of people who had to experience the pain associated with change in order to receive the blessing that positive change is brought into our lives. So Genesis 12, 1 and 3, this is Abram, all right? This is not the great Abraham that we know. This is, God changed his name. All right? Before, his name was Abram. And so the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Wow, right? Who wouldn't sign up for that? But here's the thing. Every time that God directs you, He demands something from you, and that is obedience. Now, sometimes I think the Bible is the biggest understatement there ever was, all right? God spoke to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to a land I will show you. The Powells know where they're going. Every one of those missionaries back there are in specific places around the world. God speaks to Abram and he says this, I want you to leave your country, I want you to leave your people, and I want you to leave your father's house, and I want you to go pack up your stuff, right? Go ahead and pack it up. Because I'm going to take you to a place. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. I just want you to follow me. Can any of you imagine the stress that is associated with that command? Stress. Right? We think that these Bible characters are made up figures and they're far separated from the real-time emotions that we feel on a regular basis, just trying to make decisions, trying to follow the Lord, trying to do it right. And we read these things and we think, well, okay, that's automatic. Father Abraham, right? He's a blessed dude. God used him tremendously. But before he was the great Abraham, he was Abram. He was just going about his life. Now, the thing about Abraham also, there's a problem here. He said, I'm going to make you the father of a nation. But there's an issue here. Sarah, his wife, is barren. You can't have kids at all. If I was Abraham, I'd be like, I think you got the wrong address. Because we're having a difficult time conceiving at the moment. And now you want to tell me that out to leave my father's house? You want me to leave a country? I mean, these are some of the stresses that comes with it. He had to deal with the fear of living in a different culture, a different language and traditions. He had to deal with the pain of leaving his father's house, his home, and his friends. So often, fear takes center stage when change is required. We freak out. We panic. We say all the reasons why we can't do what God has asked us to do. We give a laundry list of all the things that could happen and subgroups of things that are probably going to happen. But we forget about the blessing in the change. The blessing in obedience. See, when God speaks to your heart, when He tells you to do a specific thing, He has already made the provision for blessing. But we forget that because we've made this huge list of reasons why we can't do it. But we forget things like this. This is what God said. He said His name and family would be great. God would give him many descendants, and the world would be blessed through Abraham. Abraham considered the change and examined the pain. He didn't just, as soon as he heard God's voice, go and hitch the trailer. He considered it. He prayed over it. And he wrote down what God spoke to him. I talked to you guys about this a few weeks ago, about writing it down. Because life happens and pain happens, distractions happen. And so sometimes we forget what God has spoken to us. And so we have to write it down so that we don't forget. That when time gets hard, when we begin to doubt God's provision and God's promise and His prophetic word over us, we go back to what God has spoken to us. We go back to our calendar, we go back to our journal, and we read specifically what God has spoken to us to ignite faith again, to ignite trust again that God has a plan. Despite how I feel, despite what I see, God spoke to me and I trust it. Amen? We've got to get back to understanding that there is blessing in change. Change does not have to be a fearful thing. It does not have to be a trifling thing. It doesn't have to be a thing that we dread or fear. It can be something that we can anticipate and delight in. Right? When we know that we have a sure word, that doesn't mean that you're going to be free from pain. It doesn't mean that you're going to be free from doubt. It doesn't mean you're going to be free from having to make massive adjustments in order to accommodate God's plan. But it does mean God's blessing upon the process. Amen? So many of us are void of God's blessing in our life because we're avoiding the process. We avoid change like the plague because we love predictability. We love it when life makes sense. We love the boring Friday nights, right? We love coming home because we know what's going to happen. All right? Here's a typical evening at the McDonald House. All right? Normally I don't tell stories without my wife's approval, but this is boring, so it's okay. All right? So there's seasons of life in the McDonald House, depending on if Joshua was playing basketball or when Christian was playing basketball, or if he's a senior this year, so that there's all kinds of different things going on. Joshua right now is in football, so I'm picking him up at 5:30 every day. He's got a game on Monday nights, and then we all come home about 6 o'clock. Dana's cooking supper. After supper's cooked, they're either doing their homework or Joshua's laying on the couch and he's watching a video or playing Fortnite. I'm sitting in my chair watching the news and Dana's over there in the love seat in her little rat's nest over there. and we're just hanging out and just coming down from our day. Does that sound like anybody else? That sounds like a lot of evenings, right? Depending on what's going on in your life, we love predictability. We love comfort. We love operating in our own abilities because we know where we're limited. We know where we can't do. We know what we can't do. We know where not to go. All of these different things. We love it. We love to be safe. But God does not call His believers to predictability. Yes, does He want us to be comfortable? Yes. Does He want to bless us to all of these different things? God wants to do that. But we've got to be open for change, for what we can't predict, for God's blessing beyond what we can imagine. I was praying this morning and I was just a little overwhelmed at God's blessing in my life. I'm going to be corny again, okay? And you guys know that, like, I love my wife. And I just grinned real big at her today as she was walking through the living room as I was reading over my sermon and I said, man, I love you. I just love you. And as she walked out of the living room, I looked around at my empty living room before the boys woke up. And I said, Lord, You have blessed me beyond what I even deserve. I don't deserve any of this. But thank You for Your blessing. God wants to do those things. But listen to me. I challenge you this morning to be like Abram. He's living in his father's house. He was dealing with infertility with his wife. They were trying to figure this out because descendants were a big, big deal in those days. Still are today, but even greater in those days. They had large, large families. And if a woman was barren, oftentimes in the culture of Israel, that means there was a God was throwing a curse upon the woman. That's the way it was generally thought of. If a woman was barren, that means there was some kind of sin, some kind of curse. And so they had all this hanging over their heads, and all of a sudden God throws a monkey wrench in the whole thing, and He says, hey, I want you to move out of your parents' place. I want you to, matter of fact, not down the road, I want you to go to another city. I'm not even going to tell you where it's at, so I want you to pack it up. And Abram considered the cost. And he didn't forget that God said, I'm going to bless you. And anybody that comes up against you, I'm going to curse them. And people are going to rise up generations and thousands of years later, and they're going to call you blessed, and you're going to be a father of a nation. And all of a sudden, Abram considered the cost. Didn't know how it was going to work out. Even though his wife couldn't conceive, he obeyed. And that's what we need to do as well. It doesn't have to make sense in your head to obey God. I'm preaching better than your amen. It doesn't have to make sense. You don't have to quantify it. You don't have to add it up so that it comes to a specific number. It doesn't even have to make sense in your journal when you write it down. When God speaks to you, trust Him. Because change is coming. It's not the enemy that is buffeting you. It is not the devil himself. It is God moving you out of your comfort zone and saying, if you will listen to me, if you'll obey me, I want to bless you. Not just here and now, but generationally. I want to bless your children because of your obedience to me in this. We talked at men's conference last weekend about obedience that leaves a mark generationally. In our culture, we don't think about that. We think about payday. We think about Friday. We think about the weekend. We don't think generationally. Yeah, we have insurance. We have life insurance and all these different things. But we don't think about generationally. We don't think about what our obedience does later in life. I want to outlive my life. I want my influence to not be upon my kids, but upon their kids and upon the fourth generation. We don't think like that. But we need to start thinking like that because God wants to bless us in our obedience here and now. Because whatever we put our foot to, the first step is the first step of many. Allow God to use you in extraordinary ways. Amen. Galatians 3:7 says this: "Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham." What does that mean? All of us in this room right now are affected by Abram's decision to leave his father's house. All of us who believe are descendants of Abraham. That decision carries on today. Look with me at Matthew 19, verse 16 through 22. This is a very familiar story. This guy, who is not specifically named, he is just known as the rich young ruler. And we're going to find out why. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. "Now a man came to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me what is good?' Jesus replied, 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. "Which ones?" the man inquired. Then Jesus replied, "Do not murder." Cool, I can do that. "Do not commit adultery." Fine, I can do that. "Do not steal." All right. "Do not give false testimony." That's going to be a little difficult, but I think I can do that. "Honor your father and mother." Check. "And love your neighbor as yourself." Ugh. Okay. He says, "All of these I have kept." This is great. The young man said, "What do I still lack?" He's going to regret that question. Jesus replied, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." Then the young man, I can see his face just dropped. Just dropped. And the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. I think going away sad is probably an understatement again. He was probably devastated because that which Jesus was asking him to do, he could not do on his own. But see, there is a blessing in the commandment. And that is, come and follow me. We all look at this guy and we say, man, he blew it. Are you crazy? What are you thinking? But how many of us truly, if we're going to be honest, see ourselves in this guy? Right? Man, we're impressed with the good stuff we're doing. Right? Man, we take communion, we serve on Sundays, pretty faithful, we give, we even do some outreaches in the summer and the wintertime, you know, pretty good. Lord, I mean, I think I've done everything there needs to be to inherit eternal life, but I mean, if there's one more thing, give it to me, I can do it. And I love how Jesus knows how to get to the heart of each and every person. Jesus said this one thing, if you want to be perfect, this is one little bit more thing. He said, I want you to go and sell everything you have. And he said, this is what he didn't say. I want you to go and put it in the bank. You're going to need it later, okay? Don't worry about that. He didn't say that. He said, I want you to sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. What is he asking this man to do? He's asking this man to die. To die to himself. He's asking this man to rearrange his entire life just for him. Jesus is asking this young man to change his value system. He valued money and the security and prestige that it gave him. Jesus meets this man, gives this guy a challenge. And that challenge could possibly change everything. This man would experience the pain that comes from swallowing his pride and allowing his relationship with Jesus to be the thing that makes him perfect, not his ability to know and obey the law. It's not enough that we know God's word. It's not enough to hide it in our heart. It's not enough just to quote it out of our head. We've got to allow it to change everything about us. Amen? Everything about us. Now don't miss what Jesus invited him to do. First of all, Jesus, after this guy, never gave this invitation again to anybody. Until right before his ascension into heaven. And that is, Jesus said, I want you to sell everything you've got. Everything. And then I want you to come and follow me. What's he asking him to do? I want you to be my disciple. See all the disciples behind me? I want you to get in line. Come and follow me. I'm going to take your ordinary life, and it's going to be extraordinary. But you got to do this one thing. You got to go beyond what you're capable of doing and rely upon me solely. Let me be your strength. Let me lead you. Let me be your provider. This man has never wanted for anything. He's never had to believe God for anything in his entire life. Everything that he has accumulated religiously, he has done on his own. And Jesus has given him this opportunity. Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to sell everything you've got, change your value system, trust me and me only, sell your identity, come and follow me. Jesus never gave any other invitation to any other man after that. He was the last one. And yet he missed his hour of visitation. Because he didn't want to deal with the change that came. Even though it was going to be a blessing, he still didn't want the change. Sound familiar? Sounds very familiar to me. This was a toughie for me. I hate change. I don't like it. I don't like to deal with it. But I know that whenever God speaks to me, he will provide provision for the change. Amen? Listen to what this man walked away from. Learning and being a disciple of Jesus Christ himself. We could be reading this man's book in the Bible. We could be reading about his exploits. We could be reading about the miracles that he performed in Jesus' name. But instead, the Bible says he hung his head and walked away because he loved his riches more than the invitation. And whatever it is God is asking you to abandon, do it. Burn that plow. Provide no way back. Whatever Jesus is requiring of you, give it up because there's a blessing in obedience. There's provision in the process. Amen? So how many of us today, because we don't want to change in areas that he is asking us to change, have walked away from him. Just like this rich young ruler, we say, man, you blew it. How could you do this? Jesus in the flesh is asking you to follow him. And you walk away. Are you nuts? And yet we see people doing it every day. Walking away because he has extended an invitation. He has given us a challenge. And yet we walk away from it because we say it's too hard. We blame others for our lack of obedience. We blame our pastor for not feeding us. Come on. We blame the church for not being there. We blame our circumstances. We blame our spouse. We blame our debt. We blame everybody else but us. And on the day of judgment, the Bible says that it's appointed unto man to die once. then the judgment. And in that moment, there'll be no excuse that God will allow to come out of your mouth, because He already knows. And so, when it comes down to it, there's nobody to blame but ourselves. We walk away because we believe too much is being required. It's not fair, God. You shouldn't ask me to give up this. You shouldn't ask me to do this. You shouldn't ask me to forgive this person. Maybe God wants to send you somewhere. Maybe God wants to use you in a way. But because you've said no so many times, God hasn't blessed you in a long time. He wants to. But we have to trust the process. We forget that every time the Lord asks us to change or brings us through a season of change, that blessing accompanies it. Now, I want us to decide if our faith is going to be a part of our lives or if our faith will become our lives. Let me explain the difference. When faith is part of our lives, we control it. We control when we let our religious spirit out of the bag. We control when we talk about religious things. We control our happy face. We control our false peace. We control all of these different things. We control and can manage that. That's having faith as a part of your life. But faith that changes us and is in control of us is a person that moves when God requires change. Yes, there may be fear. Yes, there may be a little bit of anxiety. But when God says to move, we step. When God says forgive, we do it. When God says to bless, we bless. When God says to worship, we worship. When God says to move, we do it, because we understand that we are not in control, that He is in control of us. I have never seen a dead man have an opinion. And the Bible has called us to die to ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Him. That means God is in control and we are not. Man, we need to say that to ourselves every single day, 10 times a day. Amen? Now let's face it, people don't really mind if religion is part of your life. It's like a hobby, right? You pull it out at dinner parties, you may pray over the food, right? You may show that pious religious attitude every once in a while that makes people admire you. But when you can't control the situation, where is your religion? Where is your peace? Where is your grace found? Our peace and our grace should be found solely in the Lord. Amen? The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There is blessing in change. There is blessing in the process. So I want to ask you this morning, if you would, please stand with me today. So when your faith is your life, you're actually able to see and taste heaven here and now. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to long for it. You don't have to wish for it. The blessing of heaven is here and now. God has sent His Holy Spirit to be the presence of God. And He's implanted that Spirit inside of you. Do you realize that the same power that raised Jesus up from the grave, it's in you. It's in me. Think about that. We're asking God, can you provide finances for this bill? Instead of saying that, God, I know that the same power that raised your son lives in me. And because of that, I know that you're going to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. You see the difference? And so we come at God not with fear and anxiety, but with faith and trust. That even in the change, whether good or bad, he's going to give us grace to get through the process. And he's going to bless us along the way. We're not just going to go through that change by the skin of our teeth. We're not just going to go through the change with our coattail still on fire from the trial that we just came out of. We're going to come on the other side shouting, glory, hallelujah. God has blessed me through the process. Amen? So I want to ask you today, what change needs to take place in your life in order to make God the priority and not just part of your life? Not just this religious thing that we do on Sundays or doing small group. Do you need to repent? Do you need to be baptized? Do you need to step up your giving? Do you need to step up your attendance? Do you need to pray for your health? Do you need to pray for your marriage or your life in general to be a great man or woman of faith? Do you need to abandon a secret sin or obsession or addiction? What is it that you need to do to accommodate the change that God wants to bring in your life that brings about his provision and his blessing? Only you know the answer to that. Only you know what God is requiring of you. I encourage you, don't let fear and anxiety rob you of the blessing of change, because you are made for this. You are made for change. There's nothing robotic about you. Life is unpredictable. We could be here today and gone tomorrow. Live your life with no regret. God, I really wish I would have. I really wish I would have done. I really wish I could have stepped out. And then we live our life with regret. Even if you fall, part of the process. There's a hill where I live that it's an optical illusion. Okay? And even though you look like you're going down, you're actually going up. There was this ghost story and about a bus and, you know, and there was some kids and, you know, everybody perished on the bus, whatever. And now everybody that goes down this hill, you know, the ghosts of the kids who are supposed to help people up and keep them, whatever. It was just a teenage ghost story. And so you would go down to what seemed to be the bottom of this hill. And you put your car in neutral and you turn off the lights. And you would turn the car off. And you would think the car would just drift on down. But instead it goes like this. And it's an optical illusion. You're really going downhill, but there's a little dip in the hill, and it just feels like you're going up. Even in life, God has set your life in a trajectory toward him and blessing and provision. And sometimes when we get knocked down, it feels like we're failed God. It's not possible to go back, but God is saying it's an optical illusion. Get back up. It's part of the process. Even falling down continues to point to me. Don't be afraid of the process. Embrace it. Allow God to change you in the midst of it. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Whatever it is this morning that God is requiring from you, be willing to make the change, because you're made for this. You're made for it. God's going to bless you in the process. He's going to bless you right where you are. Whatever you're going through, it did not catch God off guard. He wasn't sleeping. He wasn't distracted. Everything is part of God's plan. He never promised that He would shelter us from pain. He just encouraged us that He has already overcome the world. So trust Him. Trust Him this morning. So whatever you're going through, whatever God is requiring of you, trust Him. Be willing to make the change. Father, I come before You this morning and I lift up each and every person in this room. Would you just raise your hands this morning? Just to receive this morning. Father, for some of us, we already know what You're requiring of us. And it terrifies us. Just like Abram. Father, we have more of the rich young ruler in us than we're willing to admit. We love operating in predictability. We love it when our hands can build and make sense of stuff. We love it when we can do for ourselves because it gives us a sense of pride. But Lord, You didn't call us to a life of predictability. You called us to a life of faith and trust and dying to ourselves, dying to how we feel, dying to our value system, dying to all of our plans. And Lord, I stand up here as the pastor of this awesome, amazing church, admitting to the struggle that it's hard, it's gut-wrenching. But just like Abraham, teach me to weigh it and then to walk in it. By Your Spirit, Lord, teach me to step. Teach me to trust. My life is Yours. I repent of predictability. I confess it, Father. I love it. But more than that, I love You. Here is my life. Here's my value system. Here's my worth. Here's what I think of myself. Here's my abilities and lack thereof. Here's my resources. They're all Yours. And whether You give them or bless them or take them away, I trust You. Here's my pain. Here's my doubt. Here's my arrogance. Here's my religious spirit. Lord, I strip down all bare to You. You know me through and through. Forgive me, Father, for avoiding change like the plague. And Father, today I embrace it because I know there's blessing in it. And I understand that in the process there's going to be pain. The plan that I had in my mind is not going to work out. But I know that You're going to bless me. And I choose to cling to You more than my own understanding. Father, today I choose to not lean upon my own understanding, but in all my ways I choose to acknowledge You, and You're going to direct my path. And it's going to be by Your Spirit. So, Father, teach me to trust. Test me in this today. And Lord, I know that You'll pour out a blessing upon me that I can't contain. And so, Father, my faith is no longer a part of my life. It is my life. I am defined by You. I am led by you. I am chosen by you. I am healed by you. I am commissioned by you because I am made for change. I receive it and I embrace it today. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, before we leave, and I don't mean to put anybody on the spot this morning, but Tony, could you come up here real quick? Yesterday, early Saturday morning, Tony lost her husband. He died in his sleep. And when I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go duck hunting, I had got a text on my phone. And anytime you get a text that early in the morning, it's never good news. And so Dale passed away in his sleep. And we can't predict these things. We don't plan for these things. And so this morning, as her church family, we're going to love on her, okay? And I'd like for everyone that would to come this morning. And we want to put our loving arms on her. We want to hug her, and we want to pray over her. I know she doesn't like attention, but in times like these, you gotta allow people to love on you. Come on in here. This is her goddaughter, and we want to pray over her. Come on in. Father, honestly, we don't understand your ways sometimes. Sometimes we think that we have it all figured out, and then this happens, and then it throws us in a tailspin, and we can't quite figure it out. Father, we know Dale loved you. We know that his heart is good now, that he is receiving his reward in heaven. And because of that, that gives us peace. And so, Father, we thank you for healing Dale. And Lord, now be with his wife. Lord, she's grieving and she's hurting and she has so many questions. She's not mad at you, but she has so many questions. And Lord, would you be her peace? Would you help us as her church family to love her and be your love and your hands? And Father, would you comfort her in a way that we cannot do? Would you love her in a way that we can't possibly love? To give her peace. Because, Lord, there is change in her life that she didn't ask for. And so, Father, as she adjusts to a new reality in her life, would you give her grace to go through the change? Would you give her the strength to go through this change? And, Lord, may you bless her in the process. May your blessing be upon her. Over and abundant, may your grace be with her. Somebody else have anything they want to pray over? Honey, you want to pray over? Okay, you good? So, Father, we bless her. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 T, we love you. We love you. We're here for you. Anything you need. Anything you need. Okay. I'm going to pray and then we're going to dismiss, okay? Father, I thank you so much for your loving kindness toward us. And through Tony. And God, we ask you to take this word and let it be revelation to our hearts. Let it change us forever, God. as we embrace change and the process, may you give us the strength we need and the joy to laugh in the process. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for coming today. I want to encourage you to talk to Rachel in the back. If you didn't get a chance to hug Tony's neck, go and do that as well. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being a part of our service today. God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Enjoy your Sunday.